Here we go. Look, I'm tall too. I'm tall too. Don't forget it. Yeah. How many 70s kids are here? Does this make you want to go to the roller skating rink, anyone? Anybody want to sing Staying Alive? Do a little disco ball out in the middle? This is memories for me. I want my roller skates. I want to sing some Staying Alive this morning. How about Celebrate Good Times from the 70s? Who remembers that? There you go. I see someone nodding their head. Uh-huh. And you talk about life being all perspective. You guys know that Staying Alive is the CPR song, don't you? Yeah, that's what you sing when you're doing CPR. There is one more choice. It's called Another One Bites the Dust, but we prefer Staying Alive. That's true, you know. Yeah. You never want the ambulance guy going, another one bites the dust. We always want the hopeful part. The family of grace. My goodness, I've seen a lot from the family of grace over my years. It's what we'll talk about today. I wanted to give you two little tidbits on how to charter the waters of life. One of my tasks when I was at Christ Methodist in Mobile, every year I would go on the junior high canoe trip. That was my thing. I was usually in a canoe by myself, and my task was to get the kids out of the snags when they go in there. So I was last, and without fail, there would be two kids in a canoe. Somehow they both dropped their paddles, and they'd be over there in the snags. I didn't do this because I enjoyed the snags, because that's where the things you don't like live. You know those big catfish that some people grab with their hands and pull out? I've always wondered, what if they didn't come out? What do you do then? And then there's those giant river snapping turtles that live in the snags. And of course, the ever popular water moccasins that live in the snags. But these kids would lose their paddles, and all of a sudden they couldn't navigate the waters around them. And in my career in ministry, I have felt that way a few times, even to the point of having a nervous breakdown, because I would become obsessed with everything that had to be done, with everything that was wrong in the world, and somehow thinking it's my task, if I can't fix it, to at least be ticked off about it. And many of us have taken on that task. We've realized we can't fix stuff, so we become ticked off about it. The family of grace has a very powerful role today in society, and it's one I want to talk to you about from Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, because we definitely want to do CPR on our church singing Staying Alive, not Another One Bites the Dust. So how do you do this? Again, throughout my career, I've had a number of people leave my church. The people have left over the color of the walls when we painted the sanctuary. People have left over the new color of the padding in the pews because it wasn't what it used to be. The most odd one was the lady who was leaving, the family who was leaving, rather, because we were getting rid of the faded red shag carpet from the sanctuary. Any of you from the 60s remember when you had bright colored shag carpet in your house? Yeah. How many of you would do that to people today? No. We would think you were nuts, because you would be. So anyway, I got a couple of guys to roll it up and take it to her house and put it on her porch. She really didn't like that. I plan to stay where I am, people. I'm going to be United Methodist. I've looked out across this world, and I need grace. And I figure if someone like me can have grace, I need to give grace. So how am I going to do that? I'm not happy with the political system in America, but I've decided to stay an American. I think this is a good place. I have a couple friends that moved to Canada. They're still angry up there. I'm going to stay. And here's how I do it. It's part of keeping myself sane. This is not just rules for living for you guys. This is part of keeping myself sane. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 begins like this. You've been raised with Christ. You are believers out there, people. This is talking to you and to me. So we're to look for the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Think about the things that are above and not those things that are on the earth. to think about the things that are above. Let God handle our judgment. Aren't you glad God gets to do that? Because every church I've ever served, I've had someone who's sent a letter, made a phone call, posted this or done that, sent it to the bishop. In the last two years, right at the end of my last church, someone sent a letter to the bishop that I'm pushing my left-wing agenda. And since I've been here, I have had somebody send a letter that I'm pushing my right-wing agenda. And basically what that means is somebody didn't like something. So that's how we handle that. So how do we navigate these waters? How do we focus? One, we trust God to be the judge of our world. That's not my job. My job is me. Your job is you. And so here's how we do it at Foley United Methodist. We focus on our mission, on our purpose, on who God has called us to be. Let me just hit a few highlights there for you. We're about to start Meals on Wheels here. Ecumenical Ministries is having to change how they do things. And we have the largest kitchen in town that's used maybe three times a month. So we're gonna volunteer. You guys can volunteer. They'll give you the food. They'll give you a recipe. Has to be their recipe to some degree. You can submit yours, but it has to be heart healthy, diabetic healthy, and that sort of thing. And we're going to cook for people who can't get out, for people who can no longer. They're in their homes because someone will bring them a hot meal. And that's how they stay in their homes. And we're going to help them with their dignity. The other thing we're going to do that's new is a Sunday breakfast between 7:30 and 9:30 every week. We're going to put together four teams. It'd be sweet if we had eight teams. And we'll cook breakfast. And John's vision of that when he pitched the idea was that out there somewhere is a single mom who's working 6 days a week or more. And what if she could slip in and get somebody serves breakfast to her and her kids? That sounds pretty cool. We're going to focus our head on that. Many of you have signed up to tutor children and adults that can't read. Do you know if you can teach a child to read, they can then pass math and literature? And if you teach an adult to read, they can fill out a job app and search for jobs online. That's a big stuff. That's worth focusing on. We've got our blessing box. Two or three times a day, people come by and get food. I've noticed they don't take all the food. They just take what they need 9 out of 10 times. And you can bring canned goods, and you can put the stuff in there that helps to feed people in our community. We go out to Keller Road, and some of you go out and help unload food items for people that are poor. We did an Easter egg hunt out there this year. It was really sweet. And who doesn't love UMCOR? Find a United Methodist that doesn't love UMCOR. Find anybody that doesn't love UMCOR. Do you know we're on site at most national disasters before the Red Cross shows up? That's what we do, people. You guys, in the first 6 months of this year, gave almost $6,000 to support victims and families who are in Ukraine. Two of the kids that sometimes come to our Kids Quest are from Ukraine. Grandma is over there right this minute. That's who we are, and that's what we focus on. Any pickleballers? Anybody play pickleball? Well, you ought to. Start it. We're going to start hosting pickleball over there where people can come in and be inside where it's cool and comfortable. Then we do the fish fry. Fish fry. There are people, on average, about 30 people that come to the fish fry, and that's one of the best meals they get all month. Yay, you! Then there's Family Promise. Four times a year, homeless folks stay in our building for a week. We cook for them. We provide for them. And they're out of the elements, at least for 1 week of the month. Yay, you. And so when the Bible says to focus on the things that are above, we put our head on those things. I served a church once where somebody told me, you know, God has given me the gift to see what everybody's doing wrong. Wrong answer. With all this happening, if we put our focus there, if we put our energies there, our minds will begin to change about life. We'll quit seeing everything that's wrong, and we'll start noticing the lives that are being changed, that are being touched, that are being transformed. It's not going to be easy. Bob Goff says Jesus didn't say loving people would be easy. He just said it would work. So there we go. That's who we're going to be as Foley United Methodist Church. We're going to tend to folks. We're going to take care of people. You know how church committees, councils, and classes kill projects? They play a game I call 50 questions. Well, we're going to do Meals on Wheels. Well, what about this and what about that? And what if it affects this? And what if it gets in the way of that? And what if it does this? 100 years ago, had got a project going with the health department and the Catholic Church and the United Methodist Church, and we had come up with a grant for almost $2 million to start a health clinic in rural Mobile County to take care of people. My idea was we approached two churches that had less than 40 people on worship on Sunday, and the idea was, if you'll let us use this space in your building, we'll spend $1 million renovating it. And you can use it Wednesday and Sundays, just like you meet regularly. But 5 days a week, people will come in here and get eye care, dental care, maternity care, health care, counseling, WIC, the whole thing. One turned it down because 1 week a year they do Bible school in that building. One turned it down, listen to this, because the craft lady uses one of those rooms from October to December. 50 questions. My hope is that at Foley, we will focus on what's good, lovely. Oh, gosh, the Bible says that, doesn't it? Here's why. The Bible says that we died, and our life is now hidden in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you'll be revealed too. It's the mystery. When the mystery is revealed, you guys will get it. And the mystery is being revealed each and every day that God lives in every human on this planet. And our place is not to pick them apart, but to see the God in them and let them meet God in our story as we meet God in their story. It's a fascinating thing. But here's the deal. You have to trust God. Since the book of Acts, we've been studying Revelation and talking about Jesus is coming soon for 2,000 years. Anybody gathered that it's not happening anytime soon? We just don't know. That's the mystery. But the promise is, if we can remain faithful, when our last breath becomes our first breath in eternity, there will be. There will be. And so we need to trust God. And what is the evidence of that we trust God? Is it what we stand for or against? Or is it what we do? Are we faithful in missions? To things like Family Promise and Meals on Wheels and tutoring. Are we faithful in grouping? How many of you are in a group of some sort? It could be a breakfast team or a Bible study. Something where you're seeing God in other human beings. And we can be faithful in our study. There are devotions you can pick up online that take you about 3 minutes. You ponder and you think and you focus. And we can be faithful in our giving. Because when we give scholarships. When we give food. And when we tend to people. And we can be faithful. We can be faithful inviting others to know our God. The Bible will go on to tell us, so put to death these parts of your life. These things belong to the earthly world, to the other space. Sexual immorality, moral corruption, lust, evil desire, and greed. You know that, don't you? Now here's where we struggle. Had a group of Christian men tell me that the only way for Christians to get ahead in politics is to be immoral. Any jaws just drop? What part of spirituality is that? This says that the anger of God is coming on disobedient people because of these things. But here's the weird part of that. Every one of us know that, and every one of us believe that. It is very important, because of things like sin in our lives, that we remain humble. For the grace we are given is the grace that we ought to give. This is where part two comes in. First, we focus on all of the things the church is doing very well. The second thing is we become a little selfish, and we focus on the parts of the Bible that affect us. For this passage of immorality and all of that we stand against, look what it says next. Now set aside these things, like something you don't want anymore. That's how you treat these things. Why? You know better. Anger, temper, ranting, slander. That's where you degrade the dignity of another with your words. becoming obscene language and don't lie to each other. But I don't know about you, but it's a full-time job keeping me right. It's a full-time job keeping my head in the right place. It's a full-time job keeping a good attitude toward other people. Did you hear about the doctor that went bankrupt? He didn't have any patients. Bam! Oh, the things that Pastor John, throughout our careers, have heard about us. Evildoers, snakes in the grass, spawn of Satan was one of my favorites. It's hard. It's hard to remain steady, strong, not obsessed with the evils of the world. But the full-time job each of us have is to keep ourselves in control. Why do you think anger, temper, rants, degrading the dignity of others is put in the Bible so close to immorality? Sit there for a minute. Let it soak. Why is that one verse away from what we think is immorality? It must matter to God.
But you don't understand, Bill, when they cut me off in traffic.
But you don't understand, Bill. Bill doesn't have to understand people. Jesus is at the right hand of God. So the task before us is to focus on what we can do to serve and to work on ourselves. These are the parts of the Bible that must be the dearest to our hearts, the ones that speak to you directly. What do you do with these? So at Foley United Methodist, grace has to be for everyone. Has to be. You know, I tell you every now and then, my friend who says that church has to draw a line somewhere, might as well be us that draws it. I said, isn't it great that God has appointed you to do that? We will focus on mission and ministry. That will never change. The more ideas you come up with, the more we get to do. And we will give the grace that we receive. And we must focus on our own personal holiness to survive the day. It's the only way. Anger does not win the day. Critical thinking does not win the day. Grace wins the day. In the Bible, what it's saying in this passage is that repentance and change is to change how we think. Focus on the mission and focus on the passages that apply directly to you. Here's a favorite book. If you've not read it, it's a good book to read. John Maxwell, Thinking for a Change. You can read that two different ways, can't you? Thinking about change. Or try thinking for a change, people. Your thinking more than anything else shapes the way you live. It's really true that if you change your thinking, you can change your life. If you change your thinking, you can change your life. What if we so focused on what the church is doing well, we so focused that we knew UMCOR was going to show up, that we knew people could be taught to read, that we knew Meals on Wheels would be delivered. And our sole focus as a church is what we can give 2 hours a month and we feed senior citizens. The text will then tell us, lay aside that old nature. Ditch those phrases like the devil made me do it or I'm only human, people. Put on the new nature. Remember, Corinthians says we are a new creation. We've been made fresh and new, transformed, remade, conformed into the image of the one who created us. That when each of us there is a birth that's taking place and it is Christ growing within us. The nature of God is what desires to consume us. And it is the nature of God that we fight so hard against. Because it means I have to change, not them out there. The new nature is one that is transformed, remade, started over. There you go. Maxwell again says, most people are satisfied with old problems than they are to finding new solutions. It's so easy to talk about what's wrong in the world. It's also easy to do something about it. It just takes more energy. The text says, in this image, there is no Greek, there is no Jew, there is no circumcised, there is no uncircumcised. There are no barbarians, there are no whatever that word is. There is no slaves or free people, but Christ is in all people. Anybody can pronounce that word for me? Give it a try, somebody. Wrong. Good shot, good shot. You know, I think the Bible puts those words in to keep us humble. And so here it is. It's the choice between staying alive and another one bites the dust. It's a choice between looking at all that God is doing and seeing everything that's not being done right. It's the choice to live out the presence of God before wherever we are placed, or to find everything that's wrong and to whine our way to the grave. It's a choice. It's one that we get to make. Make it well. End of Indiana Jones, one of them. One guy grabs the jeweled chalice. The old ghost says, he chose poorly. Jones grabs the wooden cup and he said, you have chosen wisely. What will be your choice today? The persona of Christ or the anger of humans? The grace of God or the judgmentalism of society? Tutoring, feeding, cooking, grouping, complaining, whining, leaving. It's the only way I can survive, to focus on what's good and to work on myself and to read the passages that apply to me. I'd rather read the passages that apply to you. That's a whole lot more fun. May God bless you. Amen. Oh, there she is. Trying to decide if I'm going to leave. I didn't do it. I didn't do it. It was Kate.
All right, everyone. Let's stand and let's close together.